Ladies and gentlemen, to help us celebrate the U.S. Coast Guard's 100th anniversary of aviation, please join me in welcoming Rear Admiral David R. Callahan, Commander of the 8th District U.S. Coast Guard.
Good evening, everybody. I cannot see you out there, so I want you to know that up front. So you can make faces and you can heckle me, and I won't know who you are. But it is incredible to be here at Washkosh for a guy who started flying at 17 years old and then went into the military and learned to fly the military way. Oshkosh was always something out there I wanted to get to, and took me about 34 years, but I'm a rookie and I'm here for the first time, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity to spend some time with you tonight. So, yeah. Well, first, I'm going to have to apologize for my adult attention deficit disorder that I have when I come to air shows like this. Since it's Oshkosh for the first time, I'm like a kid in a candy store. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory here. So if you notice that I lose attention because I hear an aircraft in the distance or something like that, just know that it's one of those squirrel things, you know, where I'm chasing that down. So please forgive me if I lose track. But on behalf of our Commandant, Admiral Paul Zukunft, I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to speak here on behalf of the over 88,000 active reserve civilian and auxiliary Coast Guard folks who are out there. And I want to particularly thank EAA for the opportunity to spend some time here. You know, they have been so wonderful to us to help us celebrate our 100th anniversary of Coast Guard Aviation. So to EAA, thank you for bringing us in and welcoming us and allowing us to be part of this wonderful thing called Oshkosh. So, it's a big year for us. 2016 marks 100 years for Coast Guard Aviation. We've been flying missions for a century for our great country, and we call it the motto this year is 100 years into the storm, and we've had some storms over the years. Across the Coast Guard, we're celebrating our centennial in a lot of different ways, particularly in ways that help us look to the past and see what we've done. You know, we've been doing a lot of things to remember the past, but the ones that really tug on my heart and soul are the ones that actually take a look at the accomplishments of folks who have gone before us. You know, in the Coast Guard, we call all of those who serve and have served the long blue line. That's what we refer to as the Coast Guard. And for many years in Coast Guard Aviation, a lot of our members of that long blue line have fallen in the line of duty. In the line of duty that others might live. And please remember those words, that others might live. So this is our 100th year of Coast Guard Aviation, and across our entire fleet, we display on all of our aircraft the names of Coast Guard Aviation heroes, those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to our nation. And these are heroes for us who have paved the way, who have flown those same skies over those same waters that our aviators fly over today. And I'll tell you that on my toughest missions over my career, the ones I was very fortunate to come back from, quite frankly, I've always believed that those Coast Guardsmen who have gone before us, those who may have given their life that others might live, were the angels on my shoulder who brought me back home. So when you get out there, and I know some of you have already been there out on the flight line and visited some of the Coast Guard aircraft we have here, I encourage you to spend some time talking to the crews. And talk to them about their missions and talk to them about what they do. And when you see those names that are prominently displayed on our aircraft that aren't the air crew, they are folks who have gone before us, that you take a moment to reflect the sacrifice that each of those folks have made for their country. So another 100th anniversary commemorative effort that we've made in the Coast Guard, you might have noticed that some of our aircraft are painted a little differently this year. We have chosen just a few out of the fleet to put retro paint jobs on. And what you're seeing are paint jobs that existed back in the 1940s and 50s. And I know you noticed a particularly yellow helicopter out there if you saw them on our flight line. By the way, does anybody else think we ought to call that the banana or something along those lines? I think the H-60 drivers, there's a couple in the room, they take offense to that. But you know, that's the way we painted them back in the 40s and 50s and even the early 60s. So those are, and I might remind you that those are line aircraft. Those aircraft are going back to their air stations after Oshkosh are going to fly. But I think it's particularly poignant that we have aircraft out there painted in those retro schemes this year to remember that 100 years of our history. To salute those giants on whose shoulders we stand today. So I earned my Wings of Gold about 32 years ago, and as my lieutenant military aide happens to point out to me frequently, that I've been around roughly one-third of the entire history of Coast Guard Aviation. So that doesn't make me feel very good, but that's, you know, and one of the things, I think she actually believes that at one time I actually wore goggles and a scarf, and I you know, I don't know, but I think that's it's not true. But that's okay, because I'm very proud to be a longtime Coast Guard aviator, and all that joking aside, you know, we've had some pretty remarkable aviators over our time, and flying remarkable aircraft and conducting some very remarkable missions over that century. So let me just take a short moment to start at the beginning of the beginning, and I mean the very beginning. And she's going through some of these images behind me, and that's who she thinks I look like a few years ago. But most in the room know this photograph that you see up on the screens. Day one in aviation, 10:35 in the morning on 17 December 1903, on those windswept shorelines in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, the very first moment of powered flight on that cold December day, on those lonely Outer Banks beaches there, Orville at the controls and Wilbur standing in the picture just off to the side. But it's interesting, though. When you look at that image, you got to ask yourself, who do you suppose was behind the camera of that photo? You see, the Wright brothers had been working on their project for many years, and they were testing gliders and some powered versions of their aircraft, and doing it all from their remote campsite there, their rustic hangar that they had at Kitty Hawk. And I don't know if any of you have ever visited there, but they still have a replica of that hangar there. But over those months and years in that very isolated location at Kitty Hawk, those Wright brothers developed a pretty close relationship with some neighbors of theirs. It was the life-saving service surfmen stationed at the nearby Kill Devil Hills life-saving station. These are Coast Guardsmen, and they struck up a relationship. And these Coast Guardsmen often visited the Wright brothers' camp and in their off-duty time, and they spent time delivering mail, sharing meals. They helped them with stuff around the shop, cleaned up, and chores around the camp. And as time passed, the Wright brothers moved on with their project. These Kill Devil Hills Coast Guardsmen became, in what the Wright brothers would describe in their memoirs, as indispensable. The lifeboat station was a couple miles away, so it wasn't that close. But when the Wright brothers needed assistance, they began hanging a red flag from their workshop or their hangar. And that could be seen from the station through this tower at the station and through the binoculars. And typically, what would happen is any off-duty surfman who saw that red flag would assemble and head on over to help the Wrights out. So and these kind of duties that those surfmen would handle were they would help them assemble the right flyer when they were putting it together to take it out of the hangar. They would help them put the railing, the monorail together. They would do all kinds of any number of projects that required more than one person. And I'll tell you what, over that time, when they did that work, our Coast Guardsmen from Hill Devil Hills Life Saving Station became the first ground crew in the history of aviation. And they were indispensable, as the Wright brothers said. And I tell you what, if you go over to the EAA Museum, which I was just visiting tonight, you'll see that of all the organizations that I see around aviation these days, I think EAA is one of the only ones that really remembers that there were Coast Guardsmen there the day of the first flight, because if you look at the Wright brothers' display there, they talk about it. So I particularly appreciate EAA recognizing that. But so on that fateful day in 1903, the Wrights raised that red flag, and those three off-duty Coast Guardsmen decided to come help them, guys by the name of Adam Etheridge, John Daniels, and Will Doe. And when they showed up, they helped the Wrights assemble the aircraft, and then they helped them assemble the monorail that the aircraft was going to fly off of. And they assigned John Daniels the responsibility of operating that glass plate camera that Orville had set up for the event. So that engine coughed to life that day, and Orville piloted that aircraft a massive 120 feet, but it was 120 feet of powered flight, and it made the history books. And the rest of the story is there for us to see. Fast forward 60 years later to the 1960s, and I'll tell you, Orville and Wilbur would have been awestruck to see Coast Guardsmen, just like those Coast Guard ground crew folks that helped them from Kill Devil Hills, operating aircraft like the what you see up in front of me, the HH-52 Seaguar, a helicopter that at one time saved more lives than any other helicopter in history, any other platform, helicopter platform in the world. The view of the underside of the HH-52 Alpha, the one a survivor might see, you know, that Coast Guard racing stripe and USCG emblazoned in bold letters, is what provided hope and ultimately salvation to more than 15,000 people during its 29 years of service. And its successor, the HH-65 Dolphin helicopter, the A through now we're on getting to the E models, our workhorse for the last 31 years, has established itself as the most reliable aircraft in Coast Guard history and has now saved well over 25,000 people. Now let's step back and think about that for a second. And this is what I really would like you to take away from tonight. You know, these numbers are not just statistics. They are tens of thousands of sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, who, because of the skill and the courage of Coast Guard aviation crews, were returned into the arms of their loved ones to live yet another day. Those words, that others might live.